Love in Bloom by Dean Bird. Rated for general audiences. Creator chose not to use archive warnings. Relationship, Blackbeard, Edward Teach, and Steed Bonnet. Mail carrier, Steed Bonnet, Gardner, Blackbeard, Edward Teach. OFMD, August, Postal, First Meetings, Pre-Relationship, Edna Croptop. They are both down bad immediately. This is read to you by Zaz. It's Saturday, and Steed's at work. He putters up the small hill to the next house on his route, his little postal truck engine grumbling along. He double-checks his bin, places a single Knives Monthly magazine in the plain black box, then gutters on to the next house. His heart flutters a bit in anticipation, because the next house is nestled in a grove of trees on the other side of a small cornfield. The next house is a trim log cabin with a beautiful garden full to bursting with wildfires. The next house is his house, owned by a man that Steed can't stop thinking about. It began a month ago, when Steed grumpily navigated his mail truck around a mid-sized U-Haul to stick the bundle of newspaper and brightly colored junk mail into a plain black box. A week later, the U-Haul was gone, but the mailbox had been painted in bright purples and blues to depict a kraken curled around a street number, and a pirate flag, of all things, had been hung on the porch. The week after that, the garden had been tilled and planted with cosmos, marigold, cardinal flowers, fireweed, milkweed, and bee balm. Several bird feeders hung from a shepherd hook pole. Steed could see they'd already attracted tons of birds and butterflies, even from where he was paused on the road. The week after that, last week, Steed finally got a chance to see the person who lived in this fascinating house. The man had been crouched behind his plants when Steed pulled up, but he stood while Steed reached out the window to fill the mailbox, and, oh, he had long, dark, curly hair, frosted with grain strands. Skin, miles of it, on display, framing the man's crop top and cut-off shorts. He was decorated in a plethora of tattoos that were clearly visible on long muscled arm, a softened midriff, and strong legs. A winding snake shape curled around one arm, disappearing into his collar and appearing at his midriff, and then sneaking under his shorts to wrap around his leg down to his ankle. Steed had swallowed, so lost in the vision before him that he nearly missed the box entirely with his handful of mail. He juggled the envelopes, slipping out of his grip, and hastily stuffed them inside, slamming the door with a loud snap. The man must have heard it too, because he startled a little, and then turned to offer Steed a friendly wave. And oh, there's probably 30 feet between them, but Steed can already see his eyes practically sparkling in the early summer sun. There's something there, something tangible, arcing between them, connection, despite the distance. Positively flustered, Steed raised his own hand in reply, but at that moment, a blue jay suddenly swooped down right in front of the man's face, startling him out of eye contact with Steed as he ducked and cursed the bird that had started greedily raiding the peanut feeder. Even exasperated, the man had been breathtaking. Steed's not sure whether he should have laughed or unbuttoned his shirt a little because of the heat of the day had suddenly become unbearable. Then a third thing had happened. Without his permission, his foot had slammed down on the gas, and he'd been jerked backwards as the truck surged on to the next house on his route. And so now he's here on the fourth Saturday, the only day he's ever scheduled to be out delivering mail. He'd quit his 80-hour-a-week job, divorced his wife, came out of the closet at 48, and then, after several weeks of loneliness at home, missed being around people just enough to apply for a part-time gig. It's a whole thing. Trundling past the knee-high corn stalks on a balmy summer morning, heart pattering in his chest. What if the man is outside again? Steed had all week to think about what he might do, but he's at a loss. Everything he can think of seems to be too weird for a man he's literally seen, not even met properly. Just the one time. Steed shakes his head to dispel those thoughts. He can just wave again, a simple friendly wave from a simple friendly mailman. It's only polite. A man with a garden like that clearly has a lot going for himself. What would he want with Steed, who spends his Saturday slowly driving along country roads just outside of town for half the day? Steed loves his job. He does. It's just, when he's done with those hours, it'd be nice to come home to something. There's no time to think about what that something might be, though, because suddenly he's already fed another Knives Monthly into a black mailbox, and he's quickly approaching the Kraken one, which is now surrounded by more flowers? A small stone wall about 6 inches high has been erected around the base of the mailbox post and stretches out a few feet on either side. It's filled with lavender and butterfly weed, oranges and purples mixing beautifully together with the leafy greens. And, oh, there's another fuzzy, grayish-looking clump in the back. Steen leans out his window to get a better look. And wait, is that plant moving? Ah! Steed startles back in his seat, flopping against the small pile of packages and loose mail he's got piled on the seat beside him, because the gray clump is actually, it's actually the man who owns this lovely, flowery, wildlife haven of a house's hair, and he's now standing right there next to Steed's window. He leans down to rest his forearms on the edge, peering inside. Sorry for scaring you, mate. You all right? And bless him, the man really does look apologetic. Steed is, he is not prepared for this much skin, hair, face to be so close within touching distance. His heart rate is recovering a bit, though. He's proud of his feet for resisting any urges to stamp down on the gas this time, given that would be A, drag this lovely man down the road with him, and B, actually, scratch that, he'd just end up making an absolute mess of his brake system because he's shifted into park right now, remember? Get it together, Steed. He sputters a little and rights himself, adjusting his uniform. That brings him much closer to the man's face than he anticipated. He looks into warm brown eyes and loses track of his breath a little bit. They sparkle even when his brows are furrowed in concern. Oh, right. Steed's gotta fix that. Yes. Sorry, I just wasn't expecting it. You, oh Lord. I was focused, maybe a little too focused on admiring the flowers you've got here. That lavendula is particularly striking. You plant gardens well. Steed manages to cut himself off there, cringing internally at the brief widening of the man's eyes. He really hadn't meant to blabber so much. But he needn't have worried, apparently, because a wide smile and a flush of blooms across the man's face crinkles forming around his eyes. The man's eyes flick down to Steed's chest briefly. He's in his mail carrier uniform with a little Progress pride flag on his lapel. Not exactly the snazzy outfit he'd prefer to be wearing when meeting his crush, but he can admit the short sleeves frame his biceps well, and the shorts are great at keeping him cool in the August weather. The man's body relaxes a little against the window, and Steed maybe possibly notices out of the corner of his eye that he's cocked his hip out to the side a bit, accentuating the curve of his... That's really kind of you, mate. Thank you. It takes a minute for Steed to realize he's waiting on a name. Steed! He bursts out a little too loudly and then clears his throat. Sorry. I'm Steed. Steed Bonnet. Impossibly, the man grins even wider. Well, Steed Bonnet, it's nice to finally meet my mail carrier. I'm Ed. Ed rotates his forearm out. The snake one, because yeah, that's definitely a snake tattoo curling around his thick muscles and up the sleeve of, gods, another crop top, so he can shake Steed's hands. Great! Me too. Steed is focusing on breathing and pumping his hand up and down, and maybe the handshake has gone on a little too long. Steed can't focus on that now. He's a little lost in Ed's eyes. How his hair is tied up on top of his head in a messy bun, with a thin curly strand framing his face, and the little curls that have escaped the bun sticking to the side of his neck, slick with sweat. Oh, his uniform shorts definitely cannot protect him from the kind of heat that is ignited in him now. He suddenly realizes that Ed has stopped the handshake himself, but is still cradling Steed's hand in his own. He's got a knowing smirk on his face, and Steed wonders wildly if he's just blurted out all of his thoughts. He's 90% sure he hadn't used his voice, but the other 10% is still thinking about the droplet of sweat that he'd seen sliding slowly down Ed's neck, pooling in the little hollow between his collarbones. Steed swallows. Hey, this, might be a little forward of me, but do you want to come in for a drink? Not alcohol, of course. I know you're on the job, probably. But, if you need to take a break or whatever, I have some lemonade. Lavender lemonade, you know, since you like the flowers so much. I thought... Ed trails off. It's his turn to look a little flustered now. Interesting. Steed's stuck between mentally calculating when he can take his break. Honestly, it's a slow mail day. He can definitely take his lunch now. And reconciling that Ed seems to be nervous to ask him on a date. He's just a mail carrier. And of course it's not a date. It's just lunch. Or not even lunch. Ed only asked him to have some lemonade. Would it be rude to bring his lunchbox inside too? The whole thing has struck him a bit sideways, and, oh no, he must have been quiet for too long because Ed's face is falling, crumpling a bit at the edges. Sorry, you don't have to. Ed goes to extricate his hand from Steed, but that's when Steed's brain finally seems to catch up to the whole situation. Finally, he feels an unfamiliar wave of confidence, tightens his grip to keep Ed's hand in his own, and brings his other to cradle it too. I'd love that, Steed breathes, and the smile breaking over Ed's face is like the dawn light cresting over hills, glowing with promise. Ed guides him where to park, framed by the lovely garden behind him. Steed feels the buds of something new growing in his chest, fresh and alive, a different sort of blossom, but he has a feeling it'll flourish in Ed's presence all the same. The end.